This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
In an interview with the Washington Times, the retired Lieutenant General William Boykin, a former commander of Delta Force and Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, said that attacks indicate an increased religious intolerance that could hit closer to home. He warned that Christian persecution is only going to grow unless we wake up and start taking action against this. And he's not alone. In his fear that America is plunging toward an increasingly anti-Christian culture, a survey recently conducted by the Public Religion Research Institute found that millions of Americans, including 57% of white evangelical Protestants, say that there is a lot of discrimination against Christians in the United States today. And that survey was in 2017. Just think what it would be like today, 7 years later. At least right now, there seems to be a marked difference between the treatment of Christians in many countries abroad and what believers are facing here at home. The intensity of what Christians face here pales in comparison to the depths of persecution suffered by other followers of Jesus in many places around the world. While a Christian college student in New York City might face ridicule for their beliefs, it would be impossible for them to live openly as a believer if they were living, for instance, in Afghanistan, ranked number one, where it is most difficult to be a Christian. Last year, the Taliban began the restoration of their oppressive rule by going door to door looking for Christian leaders. Those who are identified as Christian leaders face dire consequences. The prospect of fleeing the country is almost hopeless. In the central Vietnam province, government officials compete to create Christian-free zones, and authorities pressure animus relatives to drive Christians from their homes and communities. Many have been forcibly separated from their spouses, their children, farm fields, and even their wedding rings. In a similar way, harrowing anti-Christian discrimination and violence exists in numerous other countries, from the slaughterhouse actions of Boko Haram in Nigeria to China's surveillance state to Iran's state-sanctioned crackdown. The writer of this article says, while we cannot deny that Christians in America today experience discomforts, inconveniences, and sometimes even social ostracization, these instances simply do not rise to the level of horror that countless global Christians face every day. But that doesn't mean it isn't persecution. Indeed, it is. Another article from the Christian Post says, Christians are being persecuted in America. Yes, they are. It might be hard to hear, but it's true. Another says Christian persecution is increasing in the United States. North America, it's happening. Another article, are American Christians persecuted? Answer, yes. How are they being persecuted? Well, a lot of it comes on the heels of so-called culture war. But culture war is actually ultimately war against the Christian faith, but only taking manifestation with things like homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, and the like. So today on Viewpoint, I want you to anchor your seatbelt, friends. I want you to anchor your seatbelt because we're going to take a trip around the world. We're going to take a trip around the world, persecution portraits. Persecution portraits around the world. And you don't want to miss it because it's going to be eye-opening and heart-rending. Persecution portraits. All right. Now, for those of you who have been hoping to become part of the Persecution Project, just waiting for the first week of August, in order to accomplish that, because of finances, I need to let you know that August 8th is the final day. August 8th is the final day to join the Persecution Project. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, it means that you are wanting to become part of the effort to distribute to get out a message of wooing and warning and preparation to those in your spheres of influence because of the dramatic changes that are taking place in our world. Just as Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So, as many of you know, I have a new book coming out. My 11th book is called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. The Apostle Paul said that there would be perilous times. Jesus warned about persecution being one of the major parts, manifestations of the perilous times. And you're going to see today, again, how that is really coming to reality, not only around the world, whether it's in China or India or Iran or wherever, but also right here in the United States of America. So, for your gift of $250 to Save America Ministries, we will provide to you 10 copies of the book when it comes out, which is like going to be hopefully within a week or so. When it comes out, we'll provide you 10 copies of the book When Persecution Comes. And when we send those to you, the idea of this is not that you're going to sell them, but that you're going to, as God's arm extended, you're going to distribute them to those that God has put on your heart. You've been praying about this. You've been looking into this. You ask him specifically, where should I place these books? One possibility, by the way, is your pastor, because pastors need to come to grips with this issue and need to prepare their own congregation. So they might even be able to use the book, you see, in small groups and even from the pulpit. Others would be your relatives, your friends, your business colleagues. Who knows? The Holy Spirit can very clearly direct you as to how to give those books. So how do you get involved? You give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check. Make sure you put on the check Persecution Project or with a little note. Now, those checks have to be signed not later than August 8th. And then in addition to that, you can go to the website, saveus.org, where there's a special place there for you to sign up for the Persecution Project. If you want to do more than 10 books, for another $250, we'll provide another 10 books in your hands. People have done the 10 books, they have done 20 books, they have done 30 books, and they have done 40 books. So we're not here to try to tell you what you should do, but we're giving you an opportunity. People say, well, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? Well, friends, this is something you can do. It's something you can do. So today, you're going to get on your chariot. You're going to harness up because we're going to make a rapid trip around the world looking at persecution portraits around the world. Stay tuned. You might be surprised.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
We'll start in the United States of America, where many people feel that, well, there really isn't any real persecution here. So let's take a look at what that might look like here in the United States of America. I would not want to have believed this when I was 10 years old in the fifth grade. I had a tremendous amount of respect for my country. This is my country, grandest on earth, I pledge thee my allegiance, America the bold, for this is my country to have and to hold. Well, I'm still a patriot, and that's why we deal with the prophetic warning here as a manifestation of the highest end of patriotism, which is to prepare, to woo, and to warn your countrymen about that which is to come from God's viewpoint. Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the house of rabid woke, claims that Christianity expresses minority faith, oppresses minority faith, because it has historically been the dominant religion in the U.S., according to the center's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Toolkit. Their toolkit, dedicated to build, dismantle, or fix issues pertaining to DEI, which means they have to single out the Christian faith for oppression. Additionally, in the toolkit, it lists the definition of whiteness, which it claims was used as a substitute for the terms Christian and Englishman. Vanderbilt University, friends. The medical center. My grandson went there. He didn't get his ultimate degree there, but he did go there for some of his training. And he testified to his grandfather, yours truly, that that's indeed the spirit of that university and of that medical school. And that same spirit is spreading through medical schools and universities all over the country. The United States of America. The land of the free that's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave. Then there's an organization that works to oppose the presence of Christianity in America, period. Filing lawsuits over religious emblems visible to the public or even prayer. And now it's going on a program in Ohio, where our current vice president candidate on the Republican side comes from. And this campaign lets students take excused absences for private religious instruction. It's called release time. When I was a kid, I experienced and took part in release time. But this organization is working to oppose the release time program. That time allows school children to hear lessons in their faith during school hours. The classes are done off campus and available to students who volunteer. But this organization is intending to squash that in order to completely wipe out all manifestations of Christianity for our young people. They've already done it in the schools themselves. No prayer, no Bible reading, no Ten Commandments. And now they don't want you to even participate in a release time program off campus that has historically been approved in this country. They don't want that either. Then again, there is a campaign, a very strange campaign, to discriminate against Christian seniors. Here's how it works. Disputes have come about in senior housing projects, centers, to ban Bible studies from common areas that otherwise are used for games, knitting clubs, book clubs, and like. Another senior housing center is doing what essentially was the same thing as the first one. Then a senior housing facility banned religious decorations, even while allowing other decorations. By the way, these are all separate instances in different places around the country. Then another banned any advertising in a common area for any religious event, even though other events were advertised. Then yet another senior housing center banned religious literature, even though it allowed individuals to share various other pamphlets, flyers, and information. So a legal team has now confirmed that 10 times in just the last year, it has responded to violations of senior housing centers that are attempting to ban religion. These attacks have been across 8 different states. It seems that there's a coordination of these attacks on religious faith in senior housing centers. Fascinating, isn't it? It's everywhere. This is what you might call soft persecution. Soft persecution. But it's increasing. And as soft persecution rises, it gradually moves into hardcore persecution. So now we get to take a look at what's happening around the world with more hardcore persecution. Are you ready? You have anchored your seatbelt, haven't you? Good. In Nicaragua, concern is about the plight of 11 Christian leaders sentenced to 12 or 15 years in prison and ordered to pay $880 million. They've also been barred from contacting their families and lawyers. In other words, basically put in solitary confinement. Authorities linked to the autocratic President Daniel Ortega and his wife, they jailed the Christians recently after nearly 1 million people reportedly attended their massive evangelism rallies. Organizers said that thousands choose Christ and that miracles abound during the gatherings. The 11 sentence leaders, who must individually pay $80 million each, were imprisoned and convicted on trumped-up charges. The charges appeared to have been fabricated as the authoritarian regime of Nicaragua felt threatened by the success of the Christian outreaches. So serious is this, members of the U.S. Senate, including Republican Senators Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, Katie Britt, and Tommy Tuberville, are also advocating on the imprisoned Christians' behalf. Why would they put up, demand $80 million a person? I think the reason is, well, we can get people in the wealthy United States to come up with major money to help fund our system and line our pockets, particularly the pockets of the president and his vice president wife. That's what it's up to. Money. And we move from there to India. Worship services at a church in a village in central India's Madhya Pradesh state have been suspended since Hindu extremists attacked the congregation on June 1st. The mob of about 20 villagers led by members of the Hindu extremist group Bahrain Daud intruded into the house of Pastor Madhya Damar. This is a house church. They disrupted the worship service and beating the 50 people gathered for fasting and prayer, including women and children. They seized Bibles from children, began beating male and female members. This is the place where one of our listeners thought, even this very day, told me, well, the Hindus in India are peaceful. Not anymore. Then, ultimately, they pointed out one particular person. His name is Nurji, and warned the members that whoever gathers for prayers would be stoned to death. Why did they say that? Because the mob started pelting stones at Nurji. They chased him away from the house church and started pelting stones on him and then said, whoever gathers for prayers will be stoned to death. Nurji underwent treatment at a private hospital for over a month, and he hasn't recovered yet, said the pastor. The mob targeted Nurji because his entire family had put their faith in Christ. His children and their spouses also had been baptized and stood boldly for Christian faith. Hindu extremists previously launched attacks on the very same congregation in 2012, 2015, and 2019. In 2019, the pastor's daughter-in-law was so severely injured that they had to cease worship services for a year. The house church is the only place of Christian worship in the village, said Pastor Damar. They have shut down the only church present in the village. And believe it or not, India ranked 11th on Open Doors 2024 World Watch list of the countries where it is most difficult to be a Christian. The country was, back in 2013, 31st on the list, but now it is 11th. Its position has worsened since 2014, when Prime Minister Modi came into power and has emboldened Hindu extremists to attack Christians because he has decreed India to be an exclusively Hindu nation. So, there's a country that a lot of people think is just composed of nice, quiet, peaceful people. Hindus. Well, in many respects, that was the case. But it's not anymore. We supported for 10 years Pastor David Stanley. He had started house churches there in southern India. And by the time when we started working with him, he had, as I recall, 5 house churches. When he died, because of the attacks of the rabid Hindu mobs, he had over 30 house churches. But they attacked him. In one instance, they beat his head so badly that he lost his hearing. They do everything they can to try to instill fear rather than allow people to live by faith. So I have a question for you before we move further. If any of these things were to happen in your neck of the woods, through the place where you work, or the town or city where you worship, or perhaps in your neighborhood, what would you do? Would you be able to respond the way this one family did that was so seriously attacked? And they came to Christ, the whole family came to Christ, and the children and the parents were standing faithfully, notwithstanding the open physical attacks, even to put their lives at risk. Just asking. Now, before we go further and take our journey around the world, because I have a vast array of interesting information, portraits of persecution around the world, I want to direct your attention to something new on our website. I believe I had previously let you know that we were going to put up a new piece there on our homepage called The Persecution Chronicles. The Persecution Chronicles. And they have just been posted. And that will give you an idea. You can go there. You can even print them out. Take them to your Sunday school class, to your small group, or whatever. Pray for those people. Give it to your pastor, whatever. Use it. It's there as a tool. And periodically, perhaps once a month, we will replace it with a new one, all new, Persecution Chronicles, to enable you to stay abreast. Because the book, when persecution comes, while it has a vast array of information in it, does not keep us up to date right now. We want to keep you up to date. the persecution chronicles right there at saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today, our viewpoint concerning the matter of Jesus' warning concerning persecution as we approach the end of the age. It will intensify, he said. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? So, we understand that Jesus not only stated there would be, but he actually promised persecution. The Apostle Paul endured much, much persecution. He cites so much of it there in his letters, his epistles. Each one of the apostles incurred serious persecution. Peter was crucified upside down, according to tradition. A prophet, Isaiah, was put in a log and cut in half. Jeremiah was dumped in a pit. They were going to kill him. You see, persecution isn't new, but it is intensifying. First of all, it takes the form of anti-Semitism, which is an historic problem for the Jewish people. God said back there through the prophet Balaam that you will never be reckoned among the nations. Israel has wanted to be reckoned among the nations, but the nations don't want them, because the nations are offended by the fact that they are declared to be God's chosen people. Islam is hyper-offended because Islam contends that the promise, all the promises of Abraham were actually through Ishmael and not through Isaac. So they have a double hatred for the Jewish people, for Israel. So that helps us to understand the vast anti-Semitism and the hatred of Islam and even Arabs toward Israel and the land called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, that was given expressly by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an eternal leasehold inheritance. God said, it's my land, but I'm giving you an eternal leasehold on that land. So the land is important, but that's not the subject of our discussion here today on Viewpoint. We're talking about persecution portraits. Persecution portraits. Claire Brennan, 52 years of age, and her wheelchair-bound colleague, David Hall, were arrested in Northern Ireland for holding a sign and reciting the Lord's Prayer outside a hospital. That's right. That's Ireland. The law resembles similar laws in England, Scotland, and Wales, as well as in America, the so-called Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, FACE Act. Officers confronted Brennan as she was reciting the Lord's Prayer outside the hospital. She was holding a sign reading, "Pray to End Abortion." The same officer pushed back against her claim that she had a moral duty to be there and called her really stubborn and ignorant for disobeying the law. She said, the law of the land stops me from upholding the law of God. We pray for the babies who will be imminently killed in this hospital where the government will not intervene. The legislation there discriminates against Christian beliefs and their expression. She said, if we're not free to express prayer against abortion outside of a clinic without being criminalized, then none of us are free, she said. She went on to say, I believe I have done absolutely nothing wrong. If the courts find that I have and decide to convict me, then we are in a very dark place indeed. Yes, my friends, we are in a very dark place indeed, and that's why we're talking about this. The world is getting darker and darker. Do you not understand that yet? I think a lot of people say, yeah, but they don't get it. They just don't get it. We're not willing to see what is really happening until it knocks on our own door. And even then, can hardly believe it, and so we collapse, we capitulate, we compromise, we're just not willing to stand. And this woman was not standing in the way of people entering. She was not blocking anybody. They had to be 100 yards away, meaning they had no real ability to object or even pray in any proximity to the abortion clinic. Again, in this country, Vermont, three couples in Vermont are suing the state over bureaucrats revoking their licenses to serve as foster parents because they refuse to subject children to transgender medical treatments like cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, surgical removal of healthy body parts, and so on. This is another form of persecution over so-called culture war issues. They've been made political, but they're not political, they're spiritual. Transgenderism, homosexuality, all of these things are not primarily cultural or political. They are spiritual. So what the war is against Christians who stand for biblical standards and a holy viewpoint on life. It's a war against God's creation ordinances concerning life itself. Right here in Vermont. From there we move. We're going to move to, we're going to go through a whole bunch of countries here. Are you ready for this? Are you still in your seat, in your chariot? Is your seatbelt still anchored? Because we're going to move very quickly here. In Russia, terrorists attacked several churches and synagogues. They killed at least 21 people and wounded dozens. Muslims brutally murdered an elderly Orthodox priest, and they set the Blessed Virgin Mary Church on fire. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, they slaughtered over 80 Christians. The terror group has killed nearly 150 people since early June, including a June 7th attack that left 41 people decapitated. We used to call it the Belgian Congo. The Democratic Republic of Congo doesn't sound very democratic to me. It sounds despotic. Nigeria, the murder of a pastor and his wife on June 2nd, the killing of three abducted Christian passengers on June 6th, and the abduction of multiple pastors. In Germany, on June 28th, a 15-year-old Muslim boy received a sentence for planning a terrorist attack on a Christmas market. Earlier in the month, a gang savagely beat a 20-year-old Christian man to death for wearing a cross. You think Muslim immigration to Germany that they've allowed in there is not making a difference and ushering in persecution? It's happening in France. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in the UK. It's happening everywhere. So much so that just this last week, a rabbi in France urged the Jewish people there to leave immediately. He said there is no longer any place in France for a Jewish person. That's Jewish persecution called anti-Semitism. In Uganda, June 18th, Muslims murdered Pastor Richard Malinga. They also beat two Christian evangelists for preaching Christ in their village under blasphemy charges. In Pakistan, on June 4th, authorities arrested a Christian woman on blasphemy charges. They just make them up, friends. If they don't like somebody, they just accuse them of blasphemy, which is a mandatory death sentence. On June 29th, the court sentenced Ihsan Masih to death for allegedly sharing a blasphemous video, in spite of the fact there was no evidence of that happening. Authorities charged Dennis Albert, a Christian rickshaw driver, with blasphemy for inadvertently stepping on pages alleged to be from the Quran. Stella Kawar, another Christian woman, remains in jail awaiting for blasphemy charges, trial for blasphemy charges. On June 24th, a Muslim man kidnapped Elena Khalid, a 14-year-old Christian girl, and forced her to convert to Islam and married her. Five Muslim men kidnapped, raped, and forced a 20-year-old Christian mother to convert to Islam. She managed to escape with the help of a sympathetic Muslim woman. On June 6th, a Muslim factory owner tortured his Christian employee to death for refusing to continue working for him. The widow of Nazir Masih died of a broken heart after a Muslim mob beat her husband to death on false blasphemy accusations. How about attacks on churches? In France, several churches were attacked in June, including arson attacks and vandalism. In Germany, youths disrupted a church service in Bavaria, shouting Allahu Akbar. In Indonesia, authorities threatened to close a Christian church near an Islamic university. In Senegal, vandals ransacked the St. Louis de Senegal Cemetery. In Iran, five Christian converts received sentences totaling over 25 years in prison for proselytizing activities. In other words, trying to reach out to others in the name of Christ. In Iraq, a court ordered a Christian woman and her children to convert to Islam due to her mother's conversion years ago. Are you still holding on? Still anchored in there in your chariot, friends? Because we're not finished yet. We have much to do. The persecution portraits. Yeah. Wait till you hear the next one.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
I get no joy in helping God's people to understand Jesus' words and warning when he said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Now, that's not the only place he talked about persecution. The Apostle Peter talked about persecution. He said suffering for Christ was a given. Now, in America, we don't understand that because we haven't been taught or told those things. But the reality is God told us, Jesus told us, the apostles told us, and so we need to be ready. It's a loving thing to prepare people even when they don't really want to hear it. It's a loving thing. A father that will not prepare his children, or a mother that will not prepare her children for very difficult things that are coming or that are in the world, and think that they're loving their children by not telling them, are playing a fool's errand. They don't love their children, not really. So, it's very important that we prepare. Now, before I share this next one with you that will probably break your heart as it breaks mine, we have the persecution project that is still open until August 8th, right around the corner. There are those who said they still want to become part of the persecution project. And so I'm reminding you, August 8th is the final day. Your gift of $250 to Save America Ministries will put 10 book copies of the new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, in your hands, so that you then can give them out and be God's hand extended to make a difference. To make a difference. Don't say there aren't opportunities to make a difference. There are. We're providing one. And it's a serious one. It's an important one. Because these things are happening so rapidly, friends. We don't have years and years to prepare. It's coming rapidly. And it's not coming on the wings of a snow white dove. So if you want to become part of that persecution project, write your check to Save America Ministries. Send it to P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And on the check, you're going to write Persecution Project. Make sure that it's postmarked not later than August 8th. Okay? Now, you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That might be the easier way, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries. Or go to the website saveus.org, where there's a special place set up for you to sign up for the Persecution Project. In addition to that now, because we're getting so close now to the shipment of the book from the printer, we're going to make the book available to you individually now. $25 a piece, $25 plus $5 postage and handling. Now, we're keeping it at $5 postage and handling right now, but because postage has gone up so much, it's going to be almost impossible for us to keep it there. But for now, we'll keep it there. If you want to get a copy of that book, When Persecution Comes, a copy or multiple copies, one, two, three, whatever it is, give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And tell us exactly what you want when persecution comes, and there'll be $5 postage and handling. So it's 25 plus 5. All right. Now, a 19-year-old girl was tied up, beaten, and burned with a flat iron. Why? Because she converted to faith in Christ. In Uganda, A Muslim father burned his 19-year-old daughter with a flat iron on July 21st after learning she had converted to Christ. She attended an evangelistic crusade with a friend in the course of a visit to her grandmother. When they called people to give their lives to Christ, she said, "I went and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I went back home, I told my sister that I had left Islam, and she went and told our dad of my conversion to Christianity." The following Sunday, she attended a church service, and upon returning home, found her father, 44-year-old man, and her uncles angry with her. She said, "They tied me up, beat me, and finally my dad picked up a hot flat iron and hot water and burned me and shouted loudly that I was an embarrassment to the family. I was burned for leaving Islam and converting to Christ," as my father furiously continued shouting, saying that even Allah is annoyed with me. The attack was the latest of many instances of persecution of Christians in Uganda. In Nigeria, gunmen in southern Nigeria kidnapped a prominent Christian woman and wife of the Attorney General of the Delta State from a church Bible study in an attack that left her driver and a policeman dead. She was abducted from the King Jesus Church in the capital of the Delta State in Nigeria. A representative in the Federal House of Representatives in 2015 and Commissioner for Technical Education, that's who she is. She is also married to State Attorney General Peter Markor, who is also the state's Commissioner of Justice. The gunman stormed into the church building while members were holding a Bible study. Her police security men were killed before she was dragged into a car and drove off by the gunman. Now, what do you think, friends? Would you be a Christian in Nigeria? Would you confess Christ in Nigeria? How about Uganda? How about Pakistan? How about Iran? And it could be, I would have to ask the question, how about it in America? It's getting to that point. In 2024, Open Doors World Watch List reported to the countries where it is most difficult to be a Christian. Nigeria was ranked number 6, as it was the previous year. Nigeria remained the deadliest place in the world to follow Christ, with 4,118 people killed for their faith from October 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2023. More kidnappings of Christians than in any other country also took place in Nigeria, with 3,300 of them. Nigeria was also the third highest country in number of attacks on churches and other Christian buildings like hospitals, schools, and cemeteries. So Nigeria was number 6. Afghanistan was number 1. India was number 11. Now, what is fascinating is this final report. This comes from the Jerusalem Post. It's an opinion piece. It says that radical Islam and fundamentalist Christianity pose a threat to Judaism. So the gist of this article is Muslims provide a threat to Israel and Judaism because they want to kill Jews and take over the country of Israel. But the further part of this article is that Christians are also trying to destroy Jews and Judaism through missionary efforts that will consume Jews spiritually. That's the language that's being used here. So the writer is calling predatory Islamists and predatory Christianity are both the epitome of anti-Semitism. Now, I don't agree with that, by the way. But that is a version, a belief among many Orthodox Jews. Islamist terrorists strive for our total physical destruction, the article says. But Israel has also been infiltrated by predatory Christian and Jewish apostate missionaries. And they want to convert our souls. And we don't understand predatory Christianity. Well, the reason they don't understand what they're calling predatory Christianity is, first of all, they don't understand Christianity. Secondly, Jews are Jews, and they their view is that we're separate from the rest of the world. We're not trying to get you to become a Jew, so why would you want us to become a Christian? See, that's their outlook. We are not trying to get you to become a Jew. We're not trying to proselytize you to become Jewish, so why would you want to proselytize us to become followers of Christ? The article goes on to say, we do not minimize the horror of the loss of even one Jew by predatory Islamists. Neither should we minimize the horror of the loss of even one Jew by predatory Christian missionaries. It's our obligation as Jews to strive to save every Jewish life and to preserve continuity. In other words, Jewish continuity. So they say it's time to fight back, not just against Islamic terrorists, but also against conversionary fundamentalist Christian missionaries. Both of them seek to destroy Jewish continuity. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. While American Christians, particularly evangelical Christians for the most part, are seeking to bless Israel because they believe what God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. True Bible-believing Christians want to be on God's side in that regard because God chose the Jewish people as a chosen people. The Jewish people, on the other hand, are afraid because Christians are being so good and so nice and so open-hearted and so open-handed with blessing, financial blessing and tourism and all of this, that inures to the betterment of Israel and the Jewish people. And they say, we're stuck in a hard place, between a rock and a hard place. We want their money, but we don't want their Jesus. Therefore, in a very real sense, within Jewish Orthodoxism, they actually feel persecution toward Christians. Now, that's a very interesting take, but this is coming right from the Jerusalem Post. If you think persecution is not in front of us, friends, it's everywhere. The persecution portraits. Thank you for joining us here on Viewpoint today. I hope this has been helpful. It wasn't exactly joyous, but I hope it's been helpful because we need to prepare our own minds and hearts because that wave is coming soon, like a tsunami over the Western world.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.